Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937, now with more than 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. Online at joneswalker.com. Additional support comes from Fidelity Homestead Savings Bank, Resource Management LLC, Luba Workers Comp, and 30 North Investments.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. You may have heard me say this before, and you've no doubt heard other people say the same thing. New Orleans is a better place to do business today than it has ever been in living memory. And we're now competitive with almost any city in the country. If you'd like proof that that is fact and not just feel-good boosterism, today's show just might convince you. GE is the sixth largest company in the Fortune 500, and they've been quoted as saying New Orleans is becoming the hub of the South. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. In downtown New Orleans at Place St. Charles, GE Capital Technology Center has 70,000 square feet of office space. They're hiring 300 IT experts in all kinds of fields of advanced technology, and they've put Chief Information Officer Mike DeBoer in charge of the entire operation. Mike, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Well, thank you. What a great place to be.
A company the size of GE doesn't just stick a pin in a map and hope things work out down in New Orleans. The groundwork for this massive of an investment involves interactions with all kinds of people who benefit from GE's investment. Among them, the state of Louisiana. The health of the state and the well-being of all of us, to some extent, rests on economic development. And that ultimately rests on the shoulders of Secretary of Louisiana Economic Development, Stephen Murray. Stephen, thanks for coming all the way from Baton Rouge and joining us on Out to Lunch.
Peter, it's always good to be with you.
Now, Mike and Stephen, maybe you could start by walking us through the decision-making process that led GE to coming here. I mean, it's, I know there's some trade secrets in this, but how did the whole dance work?
Well, I think, in GE terms, we did a large study of across the metropolitan areas in the United States, and I think...
How many cities would have been looked at, roughly?
Oh, I would say initially there were probably 50 looked at.
Wow.
But I think in the end, what really brought New Orleans to the top of the list was just the commitment to growth and the changes that we've seen in the business environment here.
Fair to say... 15 years ago, you would not have come to the top.
I couldn't imagine New Orleans 15 years ago being at the top of the list.
Okay.
But now we see an environment that's totally different. It's completely a new city from my perspective. And I can remember when I was here in 1998, and I had a great time in New Orleans. But I would have never come to New Orleans to do business at that time.
Where'd you come in from?
Well, I relocated from France, so I was living in Paris before I came to New Orleans.
You came here because you like the way we pronounce the names of our streets?
Absolutely.
Like that. There's a Carondelet. That's terrific.
Well, I'm still trying to find where Giraud is, but nobody can give me directions at this point. So, but no, it's a wonderful city, and I think the difference I've seen between the time I came here when I was a young kid and now is just phenomenal.
Right. In terms of that business environment,
right.
Yeah. Steve, where did this come from? I mean, how does it, from an overview, did you know these guys were looking to expand somewhere?
Absolutely. We interacted with GE Capital many months before they ultimately made their announcement. In fact, Mayor Landrieu, actually in New Orleans, helped with the initial outreach to Jeff Immelt, the CEO of the company, asking him to consider New Orleans for a significant project of GE.
By the way, Stephen, that alone says a lot right there. I mean, because these were barriers before. I mean, is that regional barriers, state, city?
No,
so everybody was working.
There were huge barriers. I've been secretary of the department for 6.5 years. I still remember to this day when I told the governor, yes, I will be your secretary of economic development. I walked out the door. I got sick to my stomach. and not because I wasn't excited about what we could achieve in the state, but because I wasn't sure how we could be successful in the city of New Orleans because of the profound challenges that were here at that time. And what's happened since then has been absolutely remarkable on multiple fronts.
So I interrupted you, but you knew they were looking.
Yeah, GE Capital, like most big companies that are deciding where to locate a significant economic development project, they go through a very extensive site selection process where they think about such things like the availability and quality and cost of talent. They think about incentives. They think about how quickly they can get into operation successfully. They think about the character of the community and so forth. And one of the things that we really emphasize to GE Capital, as we have with many other technology companies, is that Louisiana graduates today are already working at many of the top technology companies in America. They're just not working for them here. And then if you plant a flag in the city of New Orleans, one of the great cities of the world, you will be amazed at the talent that will come to your door. And I think that's exactly the experience that they've had.
And I think we're seeing that every day. You know, we've grown to 170 employees in a very short amount of time. And I'm constantly amazed at the talent that we see walking through the door.
Do you get a lot of expats?
Well, we're not getting a lot of expats, but we're getting a lot of people who have such a diverse background from financial services, which really gives us an opportunity to tap into other industries. And that's something unique for us here. Most of our other technology centers, we're working with sister industries, so there's a lot of like thinking, right? But here, we have someone who's worked in IT in a shipyard helping a banker figure out how to do an interface. That's an interesting approach.
And then most people, when they think of GE, think of turbines or locomotives and things like that. But this is the financial services side because you're a huge lender, right?
We're one of the largest lenders in the world at this time. We're in 170 markets globally. And I think that's another unique thing that really comes together with us being in New Orleans. We have our employees here are now interacting with people all around the world. So whatever we're doing here, we're doing it in collaboration with other people in other countries working on different markets. So you have a person in New Orleans who's actually trying to solve a technology problem for somebody in China or somebody in France. So that's a great opportunity that we'd like to take advantage of.
That is. Now, one of the things that when you were selling New Orleans, you must have been a good salesman because we didn't actually have exactly the number of people he needed and all that. So it's been much more involved. You've had to work to develop those. What is it? There's a program in UNO, isn't there?
Well, that's true. You know, a big part of our efforts to cultivate the high-tech industry, and GE Capital was really one of the early major wins that we had in this sector, is helping convince those companies that there's a pipeline of talent that's going to be coming to their door. A big part of it is building the pipeline of computer science graduates at our universities. You mentioned a special program at UNO. The state's actually funding an initiative that GE Capital and UNO are partnering on to help create more apprentices so that people graduate not only with a computer science degree, but with significant project-based experience. That gives them a talent pipeline that's great for GE Capital, but it's also great for other technology companies as well.
I think the greatest opportunity that we see in what we call SWEEP is that you're taking someone who has had no exposure to enterprise-type solutions, and you're just throwing them in the pool, and you're helping them swim. And so when these guys are done, they start when they're juniors, and when they graduate from university, they're going to have 2 years under their belt from a direct experience point of view. You know, so when I can't imagine when I graduated from university, that would accelerate a person's career by 3 or 4 years at least, because you don't have to worry about, do I have experience anymore?
And to differentiate yourself as a candidate?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we throw them into another 2 years where we turn them into what we call certified engineers. So we have another program that lasts a year that helps them become certified so they can work across the company, right? So not only are they getting a career in GE, not only are they getting an acceleration of their career, but they're getting exposure to techniques that they could take anywhere.
When you think about it, Peter, the single most important selection criteria for most companies is talent. That's really what it's all about. GE Capital has been the leader with this UNO partnership, and now we've replicated the same idea, not exactly the same way, but the same concept of these university industry partnerships with IBM and LSU and
Baton Rouge,
with CGI and University of Louisiana Lafayette, and also with Fortune 500 CSC and Louisiana Tech in North Louisiana. And it's helping create thousands of new tech jobs in our state.
And when you're thinking about this, I don't know which one to address, but I guess, Stephen, why would the state pay for a course to promote people for a $1 billion company? I mean, in some sense, Mike's got more money than we do, I guess. But how does all that work, that give and take?
Well, the key thing when you think about big companies, you'll often hear people say, well, gosh, why would a big company get an incentive? And that's absolutely true. They don't necessarily need the incentive. The reason why we would provide incentives, they don't need to be here either. And so what usually happens with companies when they're selecting this kind of location for a project like this is they start off with many locations, as Mike said, 50 or so. They ultimately get down to usually two or three places that offer relatively comparable advantages. And that's where incentives can make a difference. What we've tried to do, though, is instead of focusing on financial incentives, we're putting much more of our focus on providing high caliber talent and building our computer science programs, engineering programs, other things that help really build the total environment in Louisiana.
And do you agree, is talent one of the biggest factors?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, workforce is paramount to your ability to execute and deliver products for your customers. And I think one of the great things that came out of the agreement that GE and the state of Louisiana had was the issue around how do we create a workforce of the future. So that was a significant investment on the state side as well as our side, but it was built to help build a workforce, and that's what's important. At the end of the day, we have to grow, and we need talent, and so we might as well mold it.
Peter, the most exciting thing, I mean, obviously it's wonderful to have 300 tech jobs, great salaries in New Orleans. It's wonderful to have this great partnership with UNO, but the thing that really has impressed me the most about GE Capital is the leadership they provided in helping the state attract other leading tech companies to Louisiana. It's made a huge difference. When you think about the IBM announcement, the CSC announcement, the CGI announcement, Mike DeVore personally helped us recruit each of those companies.
Well, and participating in those and helping other companies just benefits the whole ecosystem as a whole. That's the issue. We all need to grow. We all need talent, and people need careers. And having more people and more job types available is absolutely paramount to growing the whole program, right? Because one of the things that people do, especially in the tech industry, they're looking for the next biggest project. They're looking for the next big idea. So you have to have an ecosystem that allows them to move around a little bit in order to find that perfect place to be. Now, our goal is to be employer of choice. So we don't want them running around. But at the end of the day, you know, the more people that are feeding into the ecosystem, the better off we are.
That's true. Now, I'd have to ask you this, Stephen. If we... We talk about like ripple effects. I mean, the fact is that when does that happen? I guess, you know, you plant GE here and then these other companies start to come about with.
Well, there's two big ripple effects. One is the obvious one. When you plop in 300 new professional jobs in New Orleans, all those people have somewhere to live. All of them go to grocery stores. All of them buy clothes. All of them spend money at restaurants and so forth. That generates a lot of new activity in the market. Most small businesses in Louisiana, not all of them, but most of them get almost all their sales locally. So whenever we bring new activity, new investment, new jobs in the market, it creates more opportunities for small business. But the ripple effect that I'm most excited about is actually when we have a great company like GE Capital, the Technology Center, it provides a signal to corporate America that this is a safe place, an attractive place to do this kind of work. And that's why ever since the GE Capital project announced in New Orleans, you're seeing this snowball effect all across the state in enterprise software and software development and leading companies around the world that are investing in Louisiana now. And it was really pioneers like GE Capital that helped create that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the compliments I heard when the GE deal was announced was that, you know, when the other companies, you know, we've got an oil company, but they've got reserves here. We've got a shipping company, and it's great they're here, but they're here because of the port. These people could be anywhere.
That's right. And when you think about technology jobs, aerospace industry jobs, corporate headquarters jobs like international shipholding, there's no reason they have to be here. So when you're really talking about a much more nuanced opportunity focused on talent, focused on quality of place, focused on creating an attractive ecosystem, to you, to borrow Mike's word, in which they can develop. And as you get more and more of those companies, it kind of snowballs a little bit. And that's what's really exciting in my position is we're now in the position where the snowball is starting to roll. And there's a lot more things in the pipeline that are going to build on the successes that we've already had.
And when you're in the parking lot of the state capitol, you don't get indigestion like you did the first day you took the job.
No,
that's a lot better. Now you're at Commanders. Things
have
picked up.
Keep in mind, like so much of what's happened here, it could not have been anticipated 7 years ago. Much better public leadership, the incredible progress of public education, the entrepreneurial sector that's taken off, the film and digital media sector that's growing like crazy, the $14 billion flood protection system. This is a fundamentally different place than it's been for decades. I mean, New Orleans has been one of the great cities of the world for many decades, but it's been a long time since it's been one of the great cities of the world for commerce, and it's getting there again.
Well, that is, now, Mike, let me ask you a question. When you were a kid, were you ever in a position of like entrepreneurship or leadership? Was you always that kid?
I had my first job when I was 14, and I was responsible for mowing lawns for about 13 apartment complexes.
This
was in Mountain Home, Idaho, up in the Northwest.
There's a lot of grass out there. That'd be.
Well, and at the end of the day, I mean, this is where I give credit to my dad. He pretty much pushed me out the door and said, "You got to go find something to do." Right? And so, from an entrepreneur perspective and the ability to create things, I think that is probably the most gratifying thing you can do. And I remember the first day I arrived in New Orleans and I had my new little temporary office in Place St. Charles, and I was like, oh my God, I got to hire 300 people. I got to build out a center. Nobody told me about this. Right? And then after that, it's just been one great thing after another. We made our first plant in January of 2013, and it's just incredible the amount of energy that's going on. So,
but you learned a lot from that first job, just
absolutely,
undertaking.
The first job was the one that made it.
And Stephen, let me ask you, when you run, what's your style of management? When you run meetings, is it a rigid agenda or is it a food fight up there in Baton Rouge? What's it look like?
Well, you know, I really believe in the concept of building a great team, hiring great people with the right values, with a strong work ethic, with innovative, creative ideas. And then creating, you know, goals at a high level and then letting people run. So we have a very hardworking team, but it's also a very collegial team. When you do the kind of work that we do, we're managing at any one time, right now is driving up like 150 different potential projects in the state. We're all over the state, 64 parishes, 300 something municipalities. There's no way to manage every single interaction that we have. And so at LED, the key is to attract the right people, support them, set the right principles out there, and then celebrate successes as we have them. And we've been very fortunate to attract just an incredible caliber of talent, folks that have interacted with GE Capital, with other companies. Those are the people that are really out there. People tend to think of the Secretary of Economic Development. Yes, I'm in many of those discussions, certainly with GE Capital, any of the big projects. But those dozens of employees that are interacting with these companies day to day, those are the people that are really getting it done, and they're doing a great job.
Okay. Do you have anything? Just saying it the way you did, there's a lot of irons in the fire that could be announcements for these.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're pursuing, you know, more than $50 billion worth of new manufacturing prospects. We have at least two dozen high-quality software development prospects today. We have multiple corporate headquarters relocation prospects. We have by far the best prospect pipeline that I've seen in modern history in Louisiana.
You know, I've got to ask you this question, though. So much is going on in the chemical sector, and then that gigantic project in Lake Charles. Can you just spend a second talking about that? Because the numbers there are staggering.
Sure. We're working a lot to diversify the economy, but certainly the single biggest sector of activity right now is in the chemical sector. And the single biggest project is Sasol, a South African energy company that is planning a roughly $20 billion gas-to-liquids and ethane cracker complex. Now, to put this in context, a large automotive assembly plant is about $2 billion in investments. This is about 10 times the size of a large auto plant. 1,250 direct jobs, average salary $90,000 a year, plus benefits on top of that. This will be the biggest single manufacturing project in state history and the biggest foreign direct investment manufacturing project in the history of the entire United States. They expect to break ground either in the fourth quarter of this year or first quarter of next year.
Wow. One of the things that we're hearing more about now is the export of natural gas, which is a big business, could be a huge business for Louisiana. But so many of the projects that we're seeing built in South Louisiana are a function of low natural gas prices. Where do you stand or what do you do there?
Well, it's really a national issue. I mean, the entire country, manufacturing the entire country is being reinvigorated because of the availability of low natural gas. And in particular, the Gulf Coast states like Texas and Louisiana are benefiting from chemical industry projects that are taking advantage of that. I think there's a balance to be struck with exports. There's certainly a certain level of activity that even some of the opponents of extreme exports like Dow have said is okay. It's really a question of how much. Our general view is that, you know, whatever they can develop in Louisiana, we think would be sufficient for the country as a whole. There's no need to develop those projects in other
states.
There
we go. So we'd be the exporter.
You know,
okay.
We'll probably have at least three major LNG export facilities developed here. One of them is already under construction. That's Cheniere. The other two are also going to be in southwest Louisiana. I think overall at that level it'll be positive. In terms of what's currently planned, what's currently permitted, I think is going to be fine in terms of avoiding any negative impact for bill payers and for industry. The question is, how many more can the system support? That largely will be a function of what the additional exploration activity looks like going forward.
Now, I mean, most people tell me that these big finds of natural gas and the low price, it is a game changer, isn't it? I mean, it's significant.
It is. It is. You know, McKinsey & Company did an analysis a while back, and they characterized it as the single biggest game changer in the U.S. economy, you know, nationally. Here, we're thinking about the chemical industry because we're closest to that. But it also, for any kind of energy-intensive manufacturing, and not to mention just for customers, that, you know, individual citizens that use natural gas, huge reduction in cost here versus many other places around the world. It's something that's going to benefit the entire country. And what we're working on in Louisiana is we want to capture as many of the game-changing projects associated with that as possible, like the Sasol project, where usually they're going to consider Texas and Louisiana at a minimum, often a number of other states. So there's still a competitive game that has to be won there.
Well, Mike and Stephen, thank you so much. You are, you know, everybody's got responsibilities in life, but to one degree or another, but you two are dealing with massive amounts of money, large numbers of people, and plans and projections way into the future. It's been fascinating finding out what you're both up to. Thanks for your faith in New Orleans and for the hard work you're doing that ultimately benefits all of us. And thanks for taking the time to join me on Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
It's good to be with you, Peter.
Thanks, Mike and Stephen. My guests on Out to Lunch, they have been Mike DeBoer, Chief Information Officer at GE Capital Technology Center in New Orleans, and Stephen Murray, Secretary of Louisiana Economic Development. You can find out more about GE and the LED by following the links on our websites. That's WWNO.org and itsneworleans.com. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday with live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. The color-coordinated Jennifer Smith is our researcher. Mitch Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can get the show as a podcast. You can listen to past shows. And you can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, itsneworleans.com and wwno.org. Support for Out to Lunch comes from PreSonus Audio Electronics. Information about Baton Rouge-based PreSonus is online at presonus.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting and WWNO for itsneworleans.com and WWNO. NO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I look forward to meeting you again next week for Out to Lunch around the table here at Commander's Palace. Till then, be well, be safe, be happy. Bye-bye.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, online at joneswalker.com. Additional support provided by Fidelity Homestead Savings Bank, Resource Management LLC, Lupa Workers' Comp, and 30 North Investments.